just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, Season 6, Episode 40. That's right, Episode 40, as we look ahead to games on Sunday and Monday in Week 8 NFL action. I'm Todd Wright. We are presented by Hooters, with also a huge shout-out to Bill Curry Ford, which has hosted the last two Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast draft nights, and Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, writes the checks for $1,000 to the winners of every Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast League. And remember, there is never any entry fee for any of my fantasy leagues. Email for podcast listeners only. Questions on starting lineups. More like I offer you a second opinion. I do not choose your starters. You do not choose mine. It's your team. You make the final call. Also ask questions about keeping your bench productive. Bye weeks, of course, just Ravens and Raiders this week. Waivers, trade, sensing a lot of trade offers. Even I was out there in the trade market pretty actively over the last couple of weeks. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. On social media, I am at ToddWright2121 on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook, I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. Recording this on Thursday morning, but I doubt this will post before the Green Bay-Arizona game. So it might, but we'll just gloss over that and look ahead to Sunday and Monday action. Let's just jump right in. Early games on Sunday. Dolphins at Bills. There may be some fantasy relevance for the first time in a while for Miles Gaskin of the Dolphins. He's had a couple of games where we see the touch count up, and also Brown is injured. That limits the options for the Dolphins at the running back position. We don't have enough to go on that Ahmed is going to get 50% of the work at Gaskin's expense with Brown injured. So perhaps for the first time all season, Gaskin has some fantasy relevance. Not much else going for the Dolphins unless you're in a mandatory tight end league where a Gesicki has been given you reason to look at him. And Tua Tagovailoa did put up some points last week. Some of you may have used him in Week 7 by Mageddon, since you may have dropped him, especially considering all the talk about Deshaun Watson headed to South Florida, where I know at least one scenario has Tua going to a third team, so the Texans get enough in return. One of those teams could be the Washington, could be Washington, and whatever their new name is going to be in a few months. But that's all I really see going on with the Dolphins. Keep checking status on Devontae Parker, although he hasn't given you much to be excited about. Again, you know, considering the Ravens and the Raiders are the only teams off this week, I'm impacted as a huge Lamar Jackson owner in both leagues. But really, nowhere else. I mean, Josh Jacobs, sure. Darren Waller, you've been disappointed really since week one. Ruggs and Renfro, they have some fantasy value, but it's very tough to predict when you would actually play them. I played Ruggs in a bye week situation last week. He did not get me long scores. Eagles are pretty good at that, preventing long downfield plays in the passing game. But nevertheless, there's not a significant impact beyond Lamar Jackson and I guess Josh Jacobs as it relates to tangible loss in the bye weeks. All right, let's move on to the Bills in that game. Waiting for Stephon Diggs to get it going, all right? It's week 8 now, and I know those who invested a high pick in Diggs as early as maybe round 2 Certainly round three as a wide receiver are waiting to get more of the return on their investment. Emmanuel Sanders has actually been averaging more fantasy points per game based on games played. Moss is intriguing as a running back. He's touchdown dependent, but he's getting goal line looks. It isn't as much Josh Allen near the goal line yet. Josh Allen, though, tied for overall number one with Derrick Henry in terms of my 21st century standard scoring settings in a tight end mandatory league, and even in leagues like mine, wide receiver, tight end, flex, Dawson Knox does have some appeal. I would imagine many people in wide receiver tight end leagues may have cut him. But considering whatever the situation is, he's a big play tight end. He gets down the field, and he may have some relevance in a game like this. It's not like the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins just gave up 30 to the Falcons, and obviously a lot to Kyle Pitts. Carolina Atlanta. Carolina has really gone the other direction after a 3-0 start. Even some of their better fantasy players have been dropping. Sam Darnold, who at one point I believe was up to QB6 in my settings, now he's not even in the top 15, and actually 16 if we include Russell Wilson. He's had some really bad games. I'm going to start him this week because I picked him up weeks ago to use him this week in the absence of Lamar Jackson. I am keeping an eye on the waiver wire, but I mean, if Tua can throw for, what, four touchdowns against Carolina, granted Tua had a couple of bad downfield interceptions, which that's one of his issues, I feel Sam Darnold and DJ Moore. I show him wide receiver 20 in my average per game settings for the season, in a good spot to bounce back. Falcons did get some things going for Ridley, another good game for Kyle Pitts. Cordarrelle Patterson's touch counts remain very high. I believe only Taylor and Swift catch more passes out of the backfield than Cordarrelle Patterson to this point in the season. Are we leaving anyone else out of relevance? So I guess Hubbard. Hubbard touches the ball a lot, and we still don't know when McCaffrey's going to come back, even though Hubbard isn't getting enough of the scoring looks, his touch count is high enough where you're keeping him in the lineup until McCaffrey comes back. If this is a bounce-back game for Carolina, I'll be interested to see if there are rushing touchdowns, if it's Darnold or if it's Hubbard. From the Falcons' standpoint, yeah, Mike Davis disappeared. That's kind of what Mike Davis does. I mean, we're halfway through the season. To ask him to be an RB1 for a team for this length of time was a big ask. And Cordarrelle Patterson just looks like the better athlete. Philadelphia and Detroit, it's still a one-man show for Jalen Hurts. Now, Dallas Goedert, with Zach Ertz gone to Arizona, had a higher target share. So in tight end mandatory leagues, Goedert has more value with Ertz gone, and especially because no other pass catcher is doing anything of any significance for Philadelphia. I again bring this up about Devontae Smith. He scored the Eagles' first touchdown of the season in the first quarter against the Falcons game. He has not scored since. This is week 8. Sanders injured week to week. So Gainwell more in play. I think Marlon Mack can end up here. Which is why I claim Mack in one of my leagues. Not that Mack solves the Eagles' ills, but if you're looking to capitalize, much like some did with the recent move of Mark Ingram back to New Orleans, which I don't know means a ton. We'll get to the Saints. But Mack makes sense for Philly. I know people have been bringing up Kansas City, some are bringing up the Chargers just to give Eckler a break. Mack could make some sense for the Buccaneers if they're worried about Fournette or if they flip Ronald Jones to Baltimore, which is also a destination for Mack. But remember where the Eagles head coach came from. And if he is a believer in Mack, then he might want to bring him in. Although you know, they did draft Taylor while Mac was still there. From Detroit's standpoint, TJ Hawkinson's disappointing season continues for those in mandatory tight end leagues. Swift, just call it junk mail if you want, but when the Lions are down, and they often are, even though they lost from ahead last week against the Rams, Swift gets the work. He gets the goal line work. He gets the down and distance work. He gets the targets out of the backfield. I mean, he's approaching Jalen Hurts status as a one-man show for his team. Tennessee, Indianapolis. Derrick Henry tied for overall number one with Josh Allen. No running back. The next closest running back to Henry in points per game in my 21st century standard scoring settings is Eckler, 7.1 points back. Henry threw a touchdown last week in the blowout against Kansas City. Last week was one of those weeks where you were hurt in the fourth quarter, especially of games with big-time players, because so many teams were up by three scores. And I think Henry was one of them. Bounce back game for A.J. Brown. Biggest game of the year. For those that have been disappointed that invested in Tennessee's pass offense that we talked about last week in Tannehill, Brown, and Jones. It was a hopeful sign. There's no pattern until Brown does it a couple weeks in a row. So let's see if he does it against Indianapolis coming off the no, that was the Sunday night game, so it's not a short week for them. My mistake. Yeah, who was the Monday night game? Oh, that's right. It was Seattle, New Orleans. Kind of a snoozer. Indianapolis, Taylor's touch counts and his production way up. He is up to RB4 per average in my scoring settings. Michael Pittman, with Hilton out and Pascal hurt. Granted, it was only four catches, but it was a big four catches, and he would have had a 55-yard touchdown had the Niners not just wiped him out near the five-yard line, which set up a Taylor score. I played Pittman last week, was very happy. I'm using him again this week. Granted, I have to with Devontae Adams out on Thursday night. I think that does it for the Colts. Wentz up to QB15 in my scoring settings. He's getting there. A lot of ground to make up after a horrible start. Let's see. Rams and Texans. Well, you know how I feel about the Texans, and they just traded off a piece. And Cooks has not been as dependable the last few weeks, so there's not much going on there. From the Rams standpoint, Cooper Kupp. I mean, basically, I guess we can't say he's the Derrick Henry of wide receivers, even though his lead is 3.8 points per game over Jamar Chase. But it's really good. Kupp, I show as overall 10. If we don't include Russell Wilson, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that 11? Yeah. Okay, so 11. That's about where I've been, but his connection with Matt Stafford is terrific. Henderson, top 10 running back, 14.3 points per game on average for the games Henderson plays. You're just worried that he can hold up, kind of like Eckler. Maybe it's the Los Angeles thing. Bengals and Jets. Jamar Chase, another example, second week in a row, and I'm going to highlight one every week that I can. There was actually a question to NFL Fantasy Live. Thank goodness for Kimmy Checks. She got the email in the red light, green light segment, and someone was thinking about benching Jamar Chase because he didn't have as good of a matchup as somebody else because he was playing the Ravens, and he was up against Humphrey. And Chase went out and put up – he was wide receiver one for the week. And Kimmy said, no, you don't bench Chase because of the matchup. Yeah, good job, Kimmy. Jamar Chase, wide receiver 2. We said weeks ago this looks sustainable. as odd as it stands out with what he's got going with Joe Burrow. And that takes away, there are not as many red zone looks for Joe Mixon, who is down to RB17 in my scoring settings. He still gets touches, but Jamar Chase is the one scoring the touchdowns. And when it's not him, it's CJ at tight end, which if you're in a mandatory tight end league and CJ is available, at this point, you've got to pick him up. Hot hand with Joe Burrow. Burrow and Chase is showing Burrow's going to have favorites. From the Jets standpoint, and Burrow is up to QB12 just behind Aaron Rodgers. Some of you used him on Bimageddon. The Jets, nothing. Nothing. I guess you could use Davis if you had to, considering they're without their normal quarterback for a week. Whoever employs Joe Flacco these days is a lost cause. Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Deontay Johnson up to wide receiver 15. Big play guy. You worry about Roethlisberger. Harris touches the ball so much, but right now with the Steelers, Harris is RB9 in my settings. Deontay is wide receiver 15. Like I said, it's not pretty, but that's kind of all the Steelers have. So they're going to it. From the Browns standpoint, Johnson put up a very nice game last week. It just proves Kevin Stefanski knows how to coordinate, coach, and play call a run-based offense. They were with a backup quarterback with no receivers of significance and without their top two running backs, and their third running back ran all over a team coached by a defensive mind. Ran all over them and made no adjustments. If you picked up Johnson, you're keeping him in. You keep checking the status, though, of Nick Chubb. You know what? If Chubb plays, I'd still play Johnson, though, because they want to make sure Chubb's good to go. I mean, I don't think he'd play if he wasn't healthy, same the way they're going to treat Kareem Hunt, but keep checking status on Chubb. You put him in if he's healthy, but I think you still play Johnson if Chubb plays, because the Browns like to use multiple backs. Niners, Bears, two rookie sixth-round picks at running back on display in this game. Eli Mitchell for the Niners up to RB20 in my scoring settings in points per game played, and Khalil Herbert's touch counts have been roughly 20 the last 3 weeks, and he clearly was the only offensive player on the field worth a damn against the Buccaneers last week. Both guys worthy of starting consideration. Deebo Samuel, wide receiver 3 in my scoring settings, still getting it done. I mean, that's pretty much it for Niners and Bears, is Deebo, Herbert, and Mitchell. Jags in Seattle, Jags coming off the London bye. It's James Robinson and nobody else. I think I saw Chark is out for the season at this point. Seattle, DK had one play that looked like the Minneapolis Miracle early in the game against the Saints. That saved him. He's still hanging on at wide receiver 11. Someone in one of my leagues offered me Lockett in trade. I was trying to do something with him. I said Lockett has no value for me. You know, I told him to sell. I told you to sell him after week 2. I hope you took my advice. New England and the Chargers. Harris, it's all running plays. He's the equivalent of a running back playing with Lamar Jackson. He is not going to catch any balls out of the backfield. Those are Brandon Bolden, and Stevenson was out last week. Someone offered me Jacoby Myers in trade this week. Myers doesn't score touchdowns, and I can't say he's a Christian Kirk type, who we went through this last year with Kirk, and the touches were there, but he never scored, and then he had this big breakout game. Actually, that was 2 years ago against the Bucks. Time flies, because I was actually at that game, sitting next to Larry Fitzgerald's dad. I think Myers is a solid player, but he's not a scoring threat. So that lessens his value. From the Chargers' standpoint, they're coming off the bye week and a bad week before. Remember, Herbert, Eckler, and Williams were all top five guys going into that disastrous game against the Ravens. And ironically, the Ravens have a disastrous game against the Bengals. Herbert, Eckler, Williams, all in your starting lineups this week against the Patriots. What will Bill Belichick do? I think he tries to take Mike Williams out of the game. Keenan Allen, what's going on there? First two games, very good. Since then, he's involved in the offense, but he only has PPR value right now because he's not catching balls down the field. He's not scoring. Washington, Denver. Now we're getting into the late games. Actually, Seattle, Chargers, and Denver is a late game. Washington, it's McScorin. And if you haven't tried to get out of Gibson yet, I mean, maybe someone in your league doesn't know Gibson's playing hurt. It's really McScorin, and that's about it for the Redskins. Unless you're in tight end mandatory league where they have some options. Denver, there's just not much to like about Denver. And that loss to Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson at Cleveland last week is proof of it. I guess you're waiting until Jerry Jeudy comes back. But that's all that's going on there. You may be rotating pass catchers in a mandatory tight end league. Buccaneers Saints, a lot going on here. Although we'll talk about that in the Bucs bulletin. I'll just say this about the Saints. I guess you're worried about Kamara losing some red zone looks with Mark Ingram back in New Orleans because Ingram got those looks. Kamara is currently RB5 in my scoring settings. I still think you're okay. Cowboys at Vikings. Michael Gallup may be back in this game. I wonder what it means for Dalton Schultz. I don't think it's going to affect Lamb at all, coming off two big games. The week off might have done Cooper some good. Get him healthy. Ezekiel Elliott, RB3 in my scoring settings, only behind Henry and Eckler. Dak at 9, it just feels like that's going to go up. From the Vikings standpoint, they continue to play fantasy football. I'm playing Kirk Cousins this week in one league in place of Lamar Jackson. He's up to QB10 right behind Dak. I have Jefferson. I'm looking forward to seeing what he does against the Cowboys. Jefferson is wide receiver 14. Thielen is wide receiver 16 in my scoring settings. Dalvin Cook, RB14 for the games he's played. That's not with a downgrade for bye weeks or injured games. Cook just hasn't been as productive this year. Giants in Kansas City, from the Giants standpoint, you're on your own there. I got no investment in anything on that team, even off their win last week. Kansas City. All right, so now there's this prevailing thought. They've figured out Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, I think Mahomes can evolve. If anybody wants to dump Tyreek Hill, I'll take him. Same with Travis Kelce. Kelce is tight end 2 if you're going per game because Gronk had the big two games to start the season. Maybe Gronk's back this week. If it's as simple as rushing 4 and dropping 7 with a safety high on Mahomes, then maybe Eric Bieniemy isn't such a good play caller. Maybe he didn't deserve credit because Mahomes was making it up as he went along, just waiting for one guy to break open while he ran from five guys rushing. And I'm always leery of assistants becoming head coaches when they're coordinating a position that is the specialty of the head coach above them. That it's not them. It's the head coach's influence, even if he's not calling the plays. Is that it? We covered them all. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.